CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, Fromsday, the 34th of, which month is it again?
Auxember.
Auxember, that's right. It takes me a minute to figure out which month we're in, but congratulations, have you made it to Auxember?
Sure. Now we've just got to make it to Proctmo-member.
What's that?
Proctmo-member?
Yeah, you don't know it?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay, well, those are the months, the actual months of the year. God, I went super nerd the other day.
What did you do?
Started lecturing Sia and Gugu. You don't remember about where the names of the different months
come
from?
Oh, I remember. Yeah. Gave us some education.
Yes. Well, Leanne has some exciting news. Her laptop was officially declared dead yesterday.
Oh. Yes, this after spilling... not that much juice.
Mango juice.
How much of it did you get on that thing?
About half a glass.
So that's a lot.
No, I mean like a baby glass.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure, Gareth. Any Jeez, more Gareth. You? You're looking for attention. I'm trying
it's
to
like
speak
a here. Violent sneeze, huh?
Wow.
Leanne's trying to speak here, Gareth. Jeez. Just give her a chance.
So, yeah, it went all over the trackpad, and I thought it was only the trackpad that was affected, but it seeped through to the motherboard.
Oh no.
Terrible. The motherboard.
Had to drink orange juice.
Yeah,
but that's quite exciting for you, so you get a new laptop, huh?
Well, I was actually in mourning a bit. I felt bad because this little thing worked so hard for me.
Yeah, how long have you had it?
About 6.5 years.
I mean, 6.5 years of service?
And without a problem, ever.
And it comes down to this, orange juice.
I killed it. I feel really terrible. And when insurance phoned and said, well, we'll give you a 20,000 rand voucher from iStore.
Oh, wow.
I should have been happy, but I still felt sad for my laptop. More.
It was a loss.
I killed.
Well, in this case, you did, but I love it when people go, you know, they make this technology to die. They make it so that you have to get an upgrade every couple of years. And it's such nonsense. Like, I know that there's...
No, I agree when it comes to phones.
My laptop before this one, I had for 10 years.
Look at that. Oh. Yeah.
And then eventually it did give up the ghost. It just became really slow and you could hardly do anything on it anymore.
It was probably full, Garrett. You should have just emptied.
No, I did
that. Up space.
No, dude, I was obsessed with that. I used to clean it up every single day and I would see if there was a big file that could have been deleted, I deleted it. And I'd go in and clear out the cache and I would remove emails and all the stuff that they... You could
watch. Cache in laptops?
I wish. C-A-C-H-E. But you can go in there and there are videos on YouTube where you can actually watch these tutorials on how you can get your laptop operating optimally. Mm. And I was obsessed with that stuff. I still am. Like everything, I love everything to work. I make sure my software is updated.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know what's going on with this and that one's upgraded to this and these two are talking to each other. And I love when things work. I'm the happiest guy in the world. I think this is true for everybody. It's not specific to me. But I just love knowing, okay, good. We're up to date. Everything's in order.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. I don't understand those people who could just lie down and have a sleep when their life is a mess. Like, you can't just stop everything and... You know, I heard about this person the other day. She's not a friend of mine, but she's someone I know. She's gone through some trouble in the last couple of months.
Mm.
And she keeps needing these holidays.
Needing?
She needs holidays. She needs to get away because it's all too much for her. And I'm like, actually, honey, what you really need is to get stuck into your life.
Mm. Can't keep
and
running away from
shit. Down.
Yeah, like, you don't need holidays, you know? And just yesterday we were joking about Elon Musk who never takes a vacation because he believes vacations are evil and bad things happen on them. he's a psychopath. I mean, that's also why he's such a successful CEO. But this girl, every time anything vaguely not of her desire happens to her, she has a complete meltdown, and then she needs to go away for a week to find herself. I'm like, you know what you really need is to buckle down and tidy up your life.
We're not in her head.
No, but her problem is not that she needs more holidays. Her problem is that she needs less holidays and she needs to focus more on what she's got to do. Like, she's actually got to make a plan for her life. You know, you wake up some mornings, and I know we get... I mean, I certainly feel guilty sometimes for getting a bit preachy in the mornings. But if I don't share the things that I think are interesting and true here on the show, then what's the hell? What's the point of us doing?
What's the hell?
I mean, really.
No. And, yeah. And hello,
especially,
God.
Especially in the month of Augsember.
Exactly.
I mean, in Augsember, we really should be reflective. But if I can't share useful information that I have gathered over time or that I've heard from other brilliant people who are much cleverer than me, then what the hell am I doing here? I'm basically just making you laugh in the traffic, which I hope is, you know, that's good enough, but I hope there's something more that can be gathered. Gord's here.
You started making people laugh, Gareth. How's that going so far?
Oh, so far so good, Gord, but I'm not holding thumbs that it's going to carry on.
No.
You never know. How are you, dude?
Yeah, not bad, man. All good. Can't complain too much.
Happy
How's
to see
everybody?
You. Yeah, people missed you last week. We know you were very busy.
Don't worry, Gord. I was here.
I stood in
for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
She was busy too,
that.
By the way. I'm just saying.
I was also busy.
I'm on a weird set of phones. I'm on a weird set of headphones. That, no, they're just different than the ones I'm used to.
Are you trying to say I'm in your seat?
Actually, no, it's not what I was trying to say. You are, though, come to now that you mention it. But that's totally fine. I'm going to set this one up. I think I'm good now. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Gord.
Yeah, the actual Rugby World Cup played quite a lot of havoc with my work.
Oh, yes?
For reasons I won't bore anyone with. I do a lot of work with SARU, and so it had to be business as usual. Meanwhile, the further they get into the tournament, the more members of their core team need to go over there. So once the semifinal was made, those few people sort of manning the fort on this side. Meanwhile, Rugby World Cup's not the only thing they do. I work on other projects. Now, suddenly these projects need to continue as usual, but your whole client team's in Tokyo and very busy. So, yeah, it's been a rough week, but everything's good now.
So what do you think of this thing that we were talking about just a second ago? There's this girl I know who, whenever anything even minor happens in her life, she needs to get away and take a break because it's all too much for her. And all the people around her indulge this behavior. They're like, yes, shame, you do need to take it easy. You just work so hard. And they let her go away. And she's always, you know, she's staying with this friend who's got a house at the coast, or she's staying with that friend who's got a house in the Cape, or she's staying with this friend who's got a game lodge.
She's trying to escape.
She is trying to escape.
Everything.
Well, if that's what the breaks are like, I mean, if I also had, like, you know, one friend that owned the pornography museum in Amsterdam and another one who collected beaches and another one who, like, landscapes golf courses and develops them, I'd be like, yeah, I want to go on holiday with these friends too. Like, does she ever need a break with her friends who live in Sasselburg and are part of the coal community?
No, but this is the other irony, is none of those friends of hers who have amassed all of these great properties on holiday.
She should restructure her life so that she hardly works on Wednesdays but does a really early radio show.
Well,
you'll find that day oddly restful and also oddly fucking exhausting and disruptive to your week every
week. Funny you should mention that, because there are a couple of stories of people, and I don't know, you never know with the internet, right, whether it's true or not, but there are a lot of stories of people trialing this 3-day weekend.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where my friend said that he encountered it overseas once, like where people kind of, it was an unofficial official thing, but now
apparently
I'm going to
Microsoft
blank.
Okay, here are the stories I've read. Apparently Microsoft is trying it, and it's delivering productivity.
It's delivering.
Apparently we've covered the story of Guinea-Bissau, which is a country in West Africa that also, or the Gambia, sorry, not Guinea-Bissau.
Yes,
the Gambia.
Gambia.
And then there's somewhere else where they're doing this, and they're having great results. Now, I don't know if this is just like bullshit propaganda from people who they're trying to justify the fact that they want 3 days off. But
yeah,
I think,
but why not?
I think it could,
like,
be true.
When was it divinely declared?
You know,
that's got to be 5-7. It comes from bloody religion, doesn't
it?
No, it's worse
than that. It's the Industrial Revolution. What they would do is they would say to the working people, how much can we push you until you absolutely almost break and then you need a little break?
Yeah, because to be like, it's outrageous, they want 3 days. Have you ever heard anything so outrageous? You could say the same thing about two. Like, why do you need your weekend to be double? You're having two in a row every week.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, like,
I think 3-day weekends could be a very good thing.
I try to set up my week so that I work like full-time, focused and chained to a desk-ish 4 days a week. But in reality, it works out being more like six. I mean,
the best laid plans. I'd prefer to work two and a half. I'd prefer a 2.5 day weekend. Is not the same as I'm actually going to have that.
Yeah. I work when I want to.
And I literally never ever want to. Most people are like, if you won the billions or whatever, like, what would you channel your thing to? Like, oh yeah, I'd set up an institution for the well-being of left-handed lesbian seagulls and all of that. Like, I would travel, but sleep mostly. Like, they'd wake me in places.
Is that what they would do?
In a new place, wake up. I'd be like, oh yeah, cool, that's rad. What's this one again? Good night. No, I would not work a stitch ever. I'd have a whim guy. And his job would be to get me whatever I want, and I'd pay exorbitantly. But yeah, not
a whim guy.
We've spoken about this. I could not bear it. I hate working. I begrudge working. The problem is I'm like moderately good at it's what not, I do, but which it's makes not, people want you on. To still do it.
I think that's bullshit. I think you're saying something that just isn't so.
That I like to work.
No, I mean, look at how much work you've put in with Bootfighter. There's no guarantee that there's any reward at the end of the tunnel there. This is a passion project, and you've spent every spare waking hour you have working hard on it.
Yeah, I do work hard at things I really like.
No,
I know.
Oh, you're lying sack of shit.
I mean, okay, fair enough. Like, hobbies, it's an overlap. Like, you know, not everything's work. That's not right. I don't really see that as work.
You see,
doing things at all is not what I mean.
But look at how much you enjoy doing that, for example.
Yeah.
And then look at how much you
hate doing the things people pay me for.
I know, but ideally, we all want to end up in a situation like it sounds like Leanne is almost there. She works when she wants to, but she also does the stuff that she loves and that she's good at.
I love the outcome. I'm good at the things I do for a living. They're just hard work. So I like it at the end when I can show everyone, look what I made. Now, you guys bugger off and take this. Go make it into TV things and whatever. I don't want to be involved in executing, which is the opposite a lot of people in my industry have.
You're a creator.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of people in my industry hate the process of getting to the point where they have to make something and they want to get into the shoot and like sit with the DOPs and the directors and like care about the nuanced lighting and spend 3 days with cranes and
you want the concept.
I like it once the concept is signed off, and then I like to wait and see what happens and see whether someone else nailed my idea or buggered it up.
Hey, when last did you see Leanne? I was just thinking about this.
It's been a very long time.
Very long time.
I know it has been since I've been back in Joburg, which is like 2.5 years now. I know I saw you once at the studio. I just can't remember when. Probably a year at least.
I don't remember.
No, I did. I saw you one time here.
Did you guys miss each other?
We'd met each other several times before.
Miss each other.
Good. Always.
Always.
We never knew each other in that way. Like, not even in the biblical sense.
No. But we would chat on the phone as Hard Eddie occasionally.
That's true.
Hard Eddie would try his best with you on about a weekly basis.
Hard Eddie was so head over heels.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to go to a few messages before we get to the five things? Because there are lots of people who want to talk to Gord, Leanne, me, Guru, everybody. So let's go. First of all, good morning, Pastor Gareth. Oh, it's because I was preachy this morning. Please ask Gord when Bootfighter will be released on Android and whether it will be available in the UK Play Store, Duncan.
Yeah, like soon, very soon. We're waiting for them to sign off our port, and as soon as they do, it'll be for sale. We're looking at like a couple of weeks, one or two, three maybe.
Carl says, and Gord, you could add some value here. Gareth, it really is time that you get the use of less and fewer correct.
Mm.
It has been a while
there is
now.
A difference.
Yeah, there is a difference. This is one of those really anal differences where colloquially the meaning has come to be the same, and nerdy people like this person and I, it's nice to know how it should be used in its technical correct capacity.
Isn't fewer to do with a number?
Yeah, fewer is to do with a number and less is an amount.
Right.
So like,
where did I get it wrong? Carl, just give me an example.
I need less sleep than Gareth. I don't need fewer sleep than Gareth.
You need fewer hours sleep than Gareth.
Gareth needs fewer sandwiches than me. He doesn't need less sandwiches than
me. Yeah, but where did he get it wrong?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, you're trying to figure out the mistake.
So, Carl, please just give me the example of where I fucked it up so I could stop doing that. Thank you.
So you can fuck it up fewer.
Thank you. As for that friend of yours, she needs to adult the fuck up or put herself towards herself unless she has tons of money and unless she is psychologically, medically boarded. Just don't let her breed. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning, guys.
I want people who are boarded to breed.
I'm totally beside myself now, knowing that Gord is present. While I love almost everybody on the show, Gord is my vice. I never re-listen to the podcast unless Gord is on. I'm afraid I lost out on any nugget of humor. I love his sense of humor. Having said that, I just want to beat the hell out of him when I hear his excuses for taking advantage of being invited. No, hold on. Gord is not taking advantage of anything. He comes here when he can. He's not paid. He's not a member of staff.
Well, not, I mean, if you don't count the wristies.
Oh, those, like, yeah.
That's not payment, really. That's just more two friends showing how much they appreciate each other.
So, all right. Very nice, you cookie. And
so think of it as a massive bonus when I am here and not being – you have nothing's been stolen from you when I'm not.
It's a 13th check that you probably didn't deserve in the first place.
Like, you ordered a chicken mayo sandwich, and sometimes they give you a few wedges on the side if you're nice to them. I'm those wedges, baby.
Gareth and Gord are two sagacious individuals. That is our word of the day, sagacious.
I don't know that word.
I'm obsessed with sage. Comes from there.
Sagacious.
If you're sage, you're wise. Sagacious.
Okay. Of or pertaining to the quality of being sage.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's also nice with burnt butter.
Sagacious.
I'm obsessed with vocabulary.
So should it just be sagacious in that? Never mind.
No, sagacious. That's Eddie. You said that crazy woman you know must go on less holidays.
Fewer holidays.
Okay. Sure, but holidaying less. Holidaying less is something that you could get away with.
But I see the point. All right, thanks, Carl. That's useful.
It would be less holiday, fewer holidays.
Okay, very good. Hey, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern. I love their accent.
Such a weird accent. Yes, it sounds South African. It sounds more South African than Australian does.
They're like Australians that come from Durban.
Yeah.
They get in a flash car and they drive from Joburg to Durban, and then it's like an Australian, but on the internet they look a little different, eh?
They do, eh?
Yeah, different
is. They do say that.
Different is.
So she made a video.
A flash video. I bet you were better. It was a flash video, Gareth.
Yeah, it was.
Did you watch it on the internet?
I watched it on the internet, and she was very good, but caught apart from the quality of the videographer and the cinematography.
It looks good,
but she's really interesting because what she said is in 2 minutes she's told everybody how much her government's achieved, and it is quite something. I don't like her, you know. She's one of these do-gooder kind of, I'm the best kind of public servant. I'm always suspicious of those people. But it seems to me like she is legit in respect to the fact that she made promises and she's delivered on a bunch of them, which is so interesting. Because in South Africa, we never, ever get a report like this from our government. They've never told us.
We have to beg for it.
They've never told us about the good things they've done. Just listen to, I'm not going to play the whole 2 minutes of it, but she tries. Listen to this. She tries to explain in 2 minutes what she's got right.
Good everyone. So this week is a 2-year anniversary of the creation of this government, and the team has decided to set me a challenge to see whether or not I can run through the last 2 years in 2 minutes. So here's some key headline achievements. Not everything, but I'm going to see whether or not I can at least get some of it in. So, start the clock. We've created 92,000 jobs. We've built more than 2,200 state houses. We've banned offshore speculators. We've planted 140 million trees. We've got better cancer care through radiation machines, Pharmac funding, and created a central cancer agency. We've delivered cheaper doctor's visits for over 500,000 people. We're taking mental health seriously with mental health advisors and GPs and doctors' clinics across the country.
I mean, it's really, she goes through the list, and I just think, wow, that is what a government should do.
I'd love to hear that from ours.
Well, it wouldn't be 2 minutes, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but it would take about an hour and a half to explain
just
how there isn't
sentence.
Really anything, but, yeah. But there is, but there isn't. And
but here you've got this, okay, New Zealand is a really small, insignificant country, far away from everything else. It really is Middle Earth. There's nothing going on there. Okay, and they have a really good system. It just works, and it's probably because everyone's middle class, and you know I'm not an egalitarian. I do think that you should have people, and they will, whether you like it or not, you can't make any policy in the world that will make everyone equal. But they do have a lot of middle class people and very few super rich and super poor people, which may be part of the reason that they're successful. But they have a country where they manage to, because it's a small population, deliver to everybody. And it seems to be one of the few countries in the world that's getting a lot right. What's wrong, Gordo?
What's wrong, Gordo? Checking to see if the aircon's on. It's unusually stuffy in here. Mm. Or maybe it's just since it's becoming
you're
summer.
You're sweating. Look at you, boy.
I know.
It's actually, it feels a bit humid today.
Yeah,
that's
the first
thing
I noticed when I opened the door. Is
Betty
the swallows. Like,
it's humid outside as well.
Yeah. But also, as soon as you open the door to the studio, it's like the air thickens.
So I saw this video, and I just thought, you know what? Here's an example of like what irritating as Jacinda Ardern might be. She's doing this so right, and even someone like me who doesn't want to like her is forced to like her by the fact that she does this video. She makes it clear what
Gareth's
she's done.
Been forced to like something. Yeah. Don't you hate that?
No, but good for her, right?
She's
good
built
for her.
Cancer research centers, and there's a whole lot of new jobs, buildings, and roads. Going to put up a couple of bridges and plant 140 million trees.
But good for her.
Yeah, I say so.
Yeah, and I can't fault it. I really can't. I can be as critical as I like. Can't fault
I would
this.
Challenge any member of our government to,
there's no
to
way.
Do the same. They
no
couldn't.
Way. It's nothing. Hmm. And I mean, this is in 2 years, which
they've even started the orcish rights movement in New Zealand.
The orcish, yes, yeah. For the orcs.
Yeah, because
yeah.
They've like historically disadvantaged. Yeah. They live under a lot of prejudice.
Right.
You know, they're not considered, air quotes, pretty people.
No.
So they get none of the benefits of society's prejudices there.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then they historically, all sorts of shit that their ancestors, the wars that they fought.
Yeah.
I mean, for elves to still have problems with orcs, hundreds of years later.
It just shows you.
It just shows you the lack of tolerance. Like, yes, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather may have been flayed and worn as a hat. Which you were then forced to watch, because being immortal as an elf, you know, it's still you. It's 700 years later. Like, get over it, though. Like, they've done a lot of great work since then. Who could forget the orcish right movement of 1951?
And New Zealand
and Grand Berserker Lord Zerg's speech, I have a club.
New Zealand doesn't have to deal with the diversity of cultures, race, religion, etc. Much easier in a homogenous society, but so boring. It's not true.
Not that Maori.
Yeah, they have Maoris.
Stuff is hectic. I listened to a band. Check this band out called Alien Weaponry. Heavy metal band from New Zealand. Inspired, actually, by a phrase from District 9. They're kind of in the early 20s. So District 9 was like massive when they were kids. They're looking for that alien weaponry.
Wow.
They sing Maori English metal, and it's usually based on folk stories, and it's power.
Right.
And they talk a lot about the historical problems between the Maoris and the colonizing English.
I feel like I need to take my headphones off.
No, this is great. This is one of those songs takes a little while to get going, though. It's a story about how the English supplied one tribe with guns and not the other.
They also supplied one tribe with electric guitars.
And not the other, yeah. Giving you guys guns and metal. The other guy's prayer.
Yeah. And disease.
And disease. And polio.
So unfair.
No, but these oaks are proper. When this Maori shit starts in metal, I go nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to hear this.
I did say it's a song with one of those long build-ups, but when it'll be worth it.
Now, this sounds like a lot of other metal songs I've heard.
No, but you got to wait for him to start marrying, dude. Maori.
Can I move it along?
It's about to happen. You skipped the whole heavy part and went to this.
All right, I think we can all listen
know,
in.
Just board? Get like 10 seconds of the angry shouting stuff. You no, played the whole build-up and then you stopped.
We can listen in our spare time. Go and listen to Alien Weaponry.
I refuse. I refuse to take whether we good or not advice from an oak who posts photos in a bent peaked cap next to Ferraris.
Oh. Now,
unless they're yours.
What?
I get where he's going. He's taking
you're hitting it, Gordon.
A sly little jab over
having
there.
Having a little jab about Googs' Instagram.
Getting sharp, eh?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, someone says very sarcastically, and you see, this is exactly the kind of mean-spiritedness that we have been subject to when we don't win. Yeah, and in the same 2 years, they managed to lose the World Cup. But this
what a total piece of shit country. They didn't win a World Cup this time.
And this is Brendan. And Brendan, since I had a go from Carl this morning about getting fewer and less wrong, please learn to tell the difference between loose and lose.
That was your dog. I can't bear anything. Like there's a rule of the universe that states that if you're going to pontificate even a little bit, no matter how good your grammar is, no matter how good your spelling is, you're going to make some typo that you don't normally make.
Yeah.
While you have these days I can't stand it how no one can read and write, bloody imbeciles, and you'll spell something wrong.
Well,
so when someone's like, "Ur so stupid for ur opinion," you will lose any argument with a real smart person. Like, dude, you can't read and write, but you're trying to take a lump of coal and a brick and bash them together until it insults me about how not bright I am. Okay.
Well, here are 10 words and phrases that everybody says incorrectly, or at least a few people. Mm-hmm. Supposedly.
No.
Have you ever heard that?
No, and I'll shoot anyone who says
supposedly.
It.
Supposedly.
As opposed to supposedly. for all intensive purposes.
I get that one all the time. There were also intents and purposes.
Yes, no, but for all intents and purposes is correct.
Yeah, but intents.
Oh, right.
Oh, intents.
There's one where they where you combine two bad ones in one.
Oof.
And that's where you say, we've been doing our homework.
Oh, yeah. We in here.
Careful, God's instead of we've
been. Yeah.
No.
Irregardless. Nice. Have you ever heard people use that? Yeah. I could care less.
Also, there's in regard to and with regard to that drive me fucking crazy. In regard to what we were just... No!
With regard.
In regard to what we were talking about yesterday. No! Again, like, I'm not having that conversation.
So how about I could care less, which should be I couldn't care less.
Although both sentences are grammatically correct. Like, could you care less? Yeah, I could a little less. Like,
okay, yeah, I know, but
it's not the expression or idiom.
Okay, and then espresso, the coffee instead of espresso. Yeah,
that is very annoying. We can also blame South African TV for
that. Yes, that shit show.
Shit.
Pacifically, as opposed to specifically.
Mm-hmm. Neutering and spaying.
Et cetera, as opposed to et cetera.
Yeah, spay and neuter on that one also.
I seen it. As opposed to I saw it.
Or
yeah,
I've seen
it. Yeah, it needs to be I've seen it. Yeah, exactly.
I seen it.
Yeah, and then there's that one that you said, people who keep sending you old memes. I seen it. Have you seen that guy? I seen it. I'm always like, whenever I see a new funny meme, especially one that somehow overlaps with anything I do, if it's got anything to do with the stuff that I'm into and working on, like, say, for example, there's a new humorous Metallica meme. Mm-hmm. I will receive it and laugh. And before my chuckling is even stopped, I'll be like, oh, sweet Jesus, this is going to be my life for the next 2 to 4 months.
Because people will send it because again and again.
So every person that sees it's going to see it.
Well, you have carved out a niche for yourself being the best recipient of Metallica memes.
Yeah, but it's just a hypothetical example of anything that I enjoy. It's like, it's funny, and then you're like, oh, God. Here come these now. By the way, everyone, I've seen Star Wars La Crusade stuff. Thank you for sharing it with me every day. I saw it last year. Thanks.
You want two more?
Yeah.
I need to lay down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I need to lie down.
I don't worry about that one so much because while it's technically incorrect, colloquially it's okay. So, I mean, people talk like that. So you can understand a person getting that one wrong.
And then the last one, and this is the big mistake a lot of people make. Epstein killed himself. Epstein did not kill himself.
Yeah.
So let's just be clear on that one.
He shouldn't have killed himself.
Oh.
Wouldn't have killed himself.
All right, let's
therefore, he didn't kill himself.
All right, first thing you need to know this morning, the Gauteng Department of Health said most of the corpses in state mortuaries were of people who died due to violence. And nobody claims these. You know, we say we're such a compassionate nation. Got this amazing constitution and people care for each other and they don't.
No one claims them. So does that mean there's violent death corpses going?
Lying in the state mortuary.
And they're going.
Yeah. And what eventually happens is they're either just buried without any tombstone.
Or
they're used in medical science.
Or just left until... Remember they put the white oak in the ceiling?
Yeah.
Oh, what a feeling when we're rotting in the ceiling.
That
smells not appealing.
So in the past financial year, I like the way they break this down by financial year, over 4,800 deaths were recorded as a result of gunshots, stabbing, and assault. However, this is slightly down from the previous financial year.
Financial year.
How's that, huh?
And corpses.
Exactly like... how's it affecting the bottom line?
And they do say, I mean, this is Dr. Bandile Masuko.
I don't know him. Not know him.
Same surname.
Thanks.
No. He says one of the major contributing factors is the high level of alcohol consumption in the country. But I've often got drunk and I've never stabbed anyone, punched anyone, or died myself. So I don't know whether that's true. I think it's a mixture of stupid and alcohol.
But you've been to a lot of jaws where people end their sentences with boots and aren't kidding. I know because I've been to a few with you and you've been to a lot more than me. How often do you notice people gathering at like Sandton City to go do their shopping and it's relatively crowded and there's just fist fights left and right? No. And how often do you see it when O's are hammered and in the same vicinity?
No, look,
people get violent when they're drunk.
We were talking about this the other day and it's amazing to me that we live in a country where the most acceptable kind of addiction is still alcohol.
Yeah.
And everybody's okay with it.
Because, I mean, porn addiction is way healthier, easier to hide, doesn't generally cost you lots of money.
And you don't really involve other people.
No. None that have... Some that have...
You're allowed to have habits that don't involve other people.
Yeah. They involve the other person on the end of the camera, but that's a different discussion. Point is, there are way healthier addictions than alcohol, and I say start with porn.
So Cyril Ramaphosa on Tuesday appointed our new Deputy Chief Justice, but only as an acting Deputy Chief Justice. You know, Cyril just... He just can't get out of the starting blocks when it comes to appointing people. So that's Sisi Kampepe, who's a well-known judge. She will act as Chief Justice in Mogoeng Mogoeng's place until the end of the month when he returns from leave, with Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo not available to perform his duties because of the State Capture Commission. Kampepe is acting in his position. At the same time, she will act as Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court until Mogoeng returns from leave. This is like when Miss South Africa can't be there, then the first princess will take on her duties.
Yeah, exactly.
That's got to suck so much. You didn't win, but you still have to do all the obligatory work.
And get none of the prizes.
They're like, cool, he has a G-Class Mercedes and a unicorn and a mobile Olympic-sized swimming pool and a small airplane and all the glitter and vajazzle diamonds you've ever dreamed of as a little girl. And in return, you've got to do all this very, very hard work for a year.
And you're know like, that you won't turn
wait,
first.
So I know you didn't win all that cool shit or get on TV where your life dream came true and you could make a stupid speech, but we still need you to do all the hard work. You still got to go and like open this.
And the irony is, that
this 20-year-old, bright-eyed, like Houghton, spoiled Houghton kid is sitting there with these giant shears, like fucking opening an anal cancer hospital in rural in the rural foothills, and like going and caring for like children that have been landmined and all that other stuff you've got to do when you miss South Africa, but no one knows who she is. That's what I would do actually. I'd get up there with my pretty ass, I'd say some cool insightful inspiring shit, I'd get my sash, I'd cry, I'd pretend to be like really concerned for the person who came second and third and hug them, and then I'd do fan my face while I cry, and then I'd straight afterwards I'd be like, I'm a meth addict, and like have myself disqualified and let the second princess do all the rest of the work, like win, bail.
But you'll also forever be known as the first princess who failed.
There's a window period, like with my friends that called off their wedding, knowing that they had their wedding anyway, knowing they both wanted to call it off. But like, there's a window period where...
That's a hell of a thing. Hold on. Let me just digest that.
Yeah.
No, slow down.
Because the only thing that they would have saved any money on in the like sort of two, in the month or two before they were going to have this wedding, they came back from overseas to do the wedding here with family and friends or whatever. By the time they got back, they knew... She really didn't want to, and he'd kind of come to terms with it. Mm. But everything was paid for. So the only place where they were going to save any money is the booze bill. The rest of it, not a cent to be refunded. Dress, cake, venue, the whole story. So they figured it's less of a trauma and a drama, and people are going to be really pissed off if they've flown around for the world for the wedding, and on the morning it gets called off and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, because people have put it
better
in.
To have your fully paid form. And they didn't hate each other either, these two. They just realized this was a bad idea. So the better to have our wedding, wait 2-3 months so that those people who flew across the world or drove around the country or
didn't
whatever,
feel it was worth
it. I mean, even it was actually a time when I couldn't do the show. I literally had like a really bad flu and I had to miss it. But I already knew what was going to happen next. I was like, I'm missing a wedding of two people. That's basically a farce. But like, even just, it was like a 2.5-hour drive away, that kind of shit. So if people put themselves out, and then you cancel, it's like, well, screw you for making me come out here anyway. If the wedding just doesn't work out a couple of months later, then it's like, oh, well, unlucky. That's a bad story.
I think that's quite thoughtful of them, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
Makes
not
a little
selfish.
Yeah, it's totally, and it's not about them at all. They're kind of thinking about their guests, which most people who are getting married do not do.
Mm.
All right, former President Jacob Zuma will not testify at the State Commission of Inquiry next week. After all, the commission had issued a statement saying that Zuma will appear, but the former president's lawyers say he's ill and won't make it. He was so sick while he was stealing all of that money for fucking 9 years. But now
he's totally sick of stealing money.
Yeah, maybe it made him sick.
During his appearance the last time, the legal team butted heads with the commission's evidence leaders over the line of questioning. But he's asked for a postponement to deal.
He's probably got the shake disease. He's got a case of the hippie shakes.
That's right.
Which is where you're like really, really a little bit sick for a really long time. Like, Gareth, I've got really bad news. You're dying of the hippie shakes. It's going to slowly kill you over the next 40 to 70 years. Yeah, he's got life. He's dying of life. I want to make a department of government where your job is literal as fuck. So I want to be the minister of the Department of Inquiries, and yeah. I'll just go around inquiring about shit. Like, hello, do you have a fireplace?
What are you doing here?
What color are your shoes? Just like, the Minister of Inquiry are super busy with some new projects. We're incredibly inquisitive this year.
People be at a cocktail party. Like, oh, fuck, there's the Minister of Inquiry. He's always asking me shit.
There's one dude in politics that you should never trust. It's the Minister of Inquiry. He knows too much.
Here's another story in the news that I think a lot of people be pleased about. The Black First, Land First movement is no longer considered a political party.
Yes,
the organization lost its bid to appeal for its deregistration at the electoral court on Tuesday. In June, the IEC ruled in favor of the Freedom Front Plus to have the movement officially scrapped from the list of countries' official political parties. The IEC said this is based on a section of the organization's constitution which stipulated the movement was only open to black people. BLF President Andile Mritama said that they were not surprised by this decision. As a consequence, we are holding a policy conference at the end of this month in Durban, of all 20 of them.
So we can really say to them, guys, party's over.
Yeah, literally. They're going to spend money on a party as well.
But, does anyone care outside of election time whether something is an official political party or not?
Literal politics is going to be the new jewel, because you know what we must do, Gareth? We must present the world's first political party where our entire campaign is just a massive jewel.
Yeah.
And if you can like swear allegiance and vote for us, you can get in the VVVVVVVIP.
Yeah, if you prove that you
Which is only three stories below where we keep the celebrities.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, and last story you need to know this morning. The ground is being turned, the foundation laid in a bid to make the city of Tshwane the automotive capital of South Africa. 3.6 billion, not million, billion rand in investment and 6,700 new jobs will be the result of the new automotive city hub in the city of Tshwane as part of its public-private partnership with Ford Motor Company. President Cyril Ramaphosa launched the hub on Tuesday. Well, there we go. When he starts his Jacinda Ardern video, he can start by saying 6,700 jobs.
6,000, you say, Gareth?
In 3.6 billion.
3.6 billion? Jesus, Gareth.
So there we go. Cyril, well done. This is part of the president's drive to bring in more than 1 trillion rand over 5 years.
Does it say what they're building at the plant? Because
Ford cars.
Yeah, but Ford are building infrastructure to build double cab buckies here for export to new markets. But I thought it was all in PE. So if Pretoria is going to take over PE as the automotive capital of South Africa, it's going to be interesting.
Pretoria, dude, has now Ford, obviously, has BMW, has Nissan.
Yeah, but they've been making and shipping cars from PE in East London for some time. That's like what they do there.
All right. Well, we'll...
That and grow old with broken dreams.
Broken dreams. You want some messages before we get to the top?
Yes.
Lots of people. Just putting this out there. Did anyone notice Sia is not present and accounted for?
Yes.
Yeah, that is a good point. Let me explain what that is.
Did we not mention that?
I didn't even notice it wasn't, yeah.
Sia's actually away. Alan Ford organized some kind of... like midweek break for a bunch of people in the media business, and we said, well, Sia, you can go, because he's our brand manager and PR guy, so we sent him along.
He still phoned with a wake-up call this morning wake you up and then say he's not going to see you later. Do you think the headline sponsorship of Alan is ever going to go back out to pitch? Because I think... You see where this is going.
Go on.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, he would sound great as, like, the Alan Toyota or Alan Sunfoil.
Can you imagine if we could sell like Alan, like a stadium?
Ford have historically abandoned their 20-year relationship of sponsoring Alan.
Here is one that we should pay attention to. The idiots of today seem to have lost the ability to use the word R. We going, we here, what we doing.
Oh, God, I know.
Drives
I
me
know.
Around the bend.
So bad.
That is from Andrew.
Yeah, it drives me pretty nuts as well.
I have a friend who does it, and she's intelligent. She speaks really well. She has a good accent, but will write in that manner. And I say to her, it cheapens you. People lose respect for people who talk like that.
I think it's more a case of not losing the ability to understand and use the proper parts of speech that enable us to. So I don't have as much of a problem with we in here, we going out as I do with others, because that's how you phonetically speak. Like I say,
I don't.
Yeah, but it is how it sounds when most people speak. So
no, there's a distinct difference between we in here and we're in here.
We're going to the shops. Lots of people say that. I mean, we're going to the shops is how I would say it. But if one of my friends pipes up, we're going to go to the shops now, I'm not going to be like, shut up, idiot. It's we're. But there are certain things where it's like not knowing how the language works. But like saying is, should of and could of.
That's
you don't actually know what the word you meant to be saying is.
I'm a semi-grammar Nazi because – more or less on Gord's page here, colloquially and particularly in spoken speech.
Yeah. So I use, what are they called? Phononyms? I will spell a word, and that's not it, something like that it's called, where you spell a word phonetically. So I write, like, do you want to go to the shop? Or W-A-N-A. Yeah. What are we going to do later? G-O-N-N-A. So, like, it should be going to, and you're not abbreviating.
But in the written form, I do think that it helps, especially if you want to be understood. And you want your writing to have some lifespan. No, even just lifespan. The more clearly you articulate your position in writing and the more correct your grammar is, the less criticism you will have leveled at you.
Yeah, the more accurate you can
for
be
your
in
actual
your,
ideas.
Because that was something one of my varsity English professors taught me, and I like language is actually a kind of mathematics, and it's all it allows you to do is take reality, and like a painter would reproduce a picture by putting a grid over the original and then painting within the grid on the copy. I don't know how many people know that technique of getting your copying shit right. But really, like, the more language you've got, the more figure of speech, the more creative you are, the more descriptive you are, the better your ability to recreate a scenario that happened. So your words become like a making a movie.
Yeah, but this is also important because the copying part of it needs to be done before you can be creative and break the rules. Like, if you cannot copy the thing, if you cannot be clearly understood in language, or if you can't paint, if it doesn't look like a landscape to start off with, there's no amount of impressionist flair that you might have in you that's going to rescue you if you can't even get the mountains and the trees right.
Well, this is why we need to not lose things like apostrophes and hyphens and dashes that actually enable you to more clearly communicate. Because I've had an experience. There were bright colors, loads of sensations, noises, tastes, emotions, sights, sounds, and smells. And I want to tell you what happened this weekend. I have to use my words to create a memory in you. You visualize what I'm describing.
This is why, precisely why English is so complicated.
The more the better I am at language, the more tools I have to pass on that picture to you, and the more closer it's going to be.
English does
actually to what actually happened.
English does betray some level of care and conscientiousness in the people who utilize the language. If you don't, like, for example, when Carl picked up, you started all this, Carl, with fewer and less, but the fact is
you're a dog, for God's sake. Just leave him alone while he's working.
You a dog.
Yeah, you a dog.
I love it, because this is the kind of thing that I think we need to get into. If you look at how people use language on social media, it's just, and it stultifies and lowers the quality of discourse for everyone when people do this. Because here's what happens. I spell something wrong, or I use incorrect grammar, or my syntax is buggered up, or there's something wrong with my sentence on social media. Mm. Then what happens, it's no longer about the idea. It becomes about other people criticizing me.
Yeah.
And then those people are real douchebags because
they're missing the point on purpose in order to have something to fight about.
But sometimes they also make a mistake. And then it just deteriorates into like that.
And I always say the same thing. Like, I make God. Because
nothing is learned.
Because in my 20s, which are, you know, 8 years
long ago.
Yeah, exactly. This is not recent. I'm not 31. In my 20s, I used to go on a rant about grammar until I realized, A, most of the time it's like you're just fighting with yourself, and B, let people just be the way they are. My thing is, like, do you not understand the rule? So it's like everybody's going to make a typo from some time.
Sure.
Anyone's going to say, you're going to meet me at my house later. Like, we need to choose things to care about, or it can be a little sad. But it's when people don't understand what they're doing wrong. So it works for a lot of things. Like in advertising, there's design rules, so to speak. You can break them as much as you want when you know them.
Yeah.
So don't make a mistake with a rule you don't know.
Yeah.
It's like people who look at a pile of science textbooks a meter high that look like phone books and go, I don't know what's in those devil books, but I know it's wrong. And that's why I ain't going to read it. So you're telling me because you're 100% certain that what's in these books you've never read is wrong is why you're never going to read them, because they're wrong.
You've never read them.
Don't start ranting about how intelligent you are or demeaning someone else's intelligence when you don't know how to spell. By all means,
Carl
mistakes.
Says, I'm not a dog, you losers. Just use my advice. I was very pacific. Carl, not the dog.
Oh, he was it's specifically Carl the person, not the dog. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't suppose.
Did you really think it was the dog?
I didn't. Well, I never know. Gareth talks so fondly about his dog, you could never tell. I didn't suppose that.
Here's Michelle. Michelle says, ass. This is for you, obviously. Do you judge bad spelling on Tinder? I delete people if they can't type a full sentence. WhatsApp too.
No, well, WhatsApp, it's usually my friends. I can't delete them.
Yeah, that's annoying as well, hey?
Yeah, but no, on Tinder, it's a no-go. If you make one mistake, you're out.
It's finished.
Yeah.
Here's a question.
Must be a lot of heartbroken, but not that literate guys out there thinking, where did it all go wrong?
I don't care if you're literate or heartbroken.
That literate guy. Okay.
Oh, a bunch of heartbreaked guys out there.
God, this is such a nerdy stuff.
I know, Gareth gets my nerd humor. It always makes me feel like I'm not alone in the world.
Here's an interesting question. What is the difference between speak and talk? Anyone want to attempt that one this morning?
Goldilocks.
Sheesh. I would be going on.
I would be going on
an educated guess, but like to speak, I think is to communicate concepts orally, whereas to talk is to make any kind of like. I'm thinking speak is more about the nature of the content, and talk is more about the action of making a sound with your mouth. But I stand to be corrected. Plus, one would be a dialogue, and one would be a monologue.
I think one is like listen, and one is like hear.
You'd say my baby's started talking. You know, they're going gaggies and da-da, but they're not really speaking.
Yeah.
So we just, but you could say you and I.
Especially scary if you're 34.
You could say you and I are having a talk, but we couldn't say like you and I are having a speech. The speech sounds to me like it might be more one way. So even though you can speak, then I can speak, then you can speak, and it's a conversation.
I think you're making it up.
No, I 100% said I'm making it up. I'm trying to figure it out.
If Gordon and I were speaking yesterday.
Yeah.
Is acceptable.
Okay.
Just like Gordon and I
were
talking.
But we can't have a talking to each other. We can have a talk. Okay, but the truth, the short answer is we don't really know. Do we need to look it up, or is the person who asked us providing an answer?
No, I think we'll just leave it at that.
So speak tends to be used for one-sided communication.
I might have been exactly right.
You may have been.
Sounds like exactly.
She spoke to her employees, whereas talk implies a conversation or discussion between two or more people.
Oh, okay, so 100% what I said.
There we go. Perfect. Well done, Gordon.
Thanks, Gordon. Again, total guess, but...
Nicely done.
The better you guess, the better insightful. Your shots get. Very Gary, nice. Quote Gary Player or some shit.
All right. It is 7:05. When we come back, we're going to hear...
I'm so excited for 7.
We're going to hear an emotional homecoming speech from one of the Springboks and a word that he didn't want to say in the speech or in the talk, as the case may be.
Was he having a talk or was he having a speech? So can you imagine like interrupting the speech and be like, fellow Americans, I interrupt this great speech too. If you'll humor me on this one, I'd just like to talk for a few moments. Like, thank you for listening to me talk, and now I'd like to get back to my speech.
All right, all of that and more coming up, plus some news stories, and we're going to have Joe Camino pop in again, tell us how we can better manage our money, because God alone knows December's coming, and people have no idea what to do.
Joe Camino, not to be confused with Joke Amino, which is a chemistry thing that Gareth does sometimes.
When you make amino acids and you joke about them afterwards.
It's a joke amino.
And only you find it funny.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's very good.
But joke aminos are totally... You know, today, I've known my jokes are going to be crap from the moment they start coming out of my mouth, and I just apologize to everyone because... It's just that day. They're bad.
We'll take a moment, and Gord can go and have some coffee.
Go have coffee, Gord.
You can speak to me, and then we can have a talk.
That's a very good idea. Let's talk about having a speech.
Perfect. CliffCentral.com